closer.
Radio Labyrinth Season 6, Episode 65. We've done 65 episodes in the year of our Lord 2021. Just a few left as we wind down this second year of the thing. And we enter into a third year of the thing. We'll see how that goes. But we're going to be with you. We're not going anywhere. We thank all of you who've been listening to us since 2016 when we started this project. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cold. But not, I don't have the thing. I went to the doctor today. He said it was just a cold. So that's good.
Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this?
A couple of quick notes before we get going. Radio Labyrinth Presents returns next week. So on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, December 8th, be on the lookout for our interview with Brian Troxell. He is a local actor. Among other things, he's an audiobook narrator, and he works with Sketchworks. We've had him on the show before. We'll put a link to the previous episode they're on in the video and in the RSS feed. But he's on to talk about his career and most recently appearing in the first episode of the Hawkeye series, which you can see on Disney Plus. And it's a very, very good show that we all seem to enjoy quite a bit. And
I haven't seen Alda once in three episodes yet.
Oh, yeah. Saving that for the reveal. That's the reveal coming at the end. Hawkeye is Hawkeye. But anyway, yeah, be on the lookout for that coming up next week. And then we'll also have one the following week, which we'll tell you about next week. So, yippee-yippee-yay. Let's see. What else? We have a lot to talk about before we talk about the show. We have a end of the year holiday party coming up that will take place at Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They are inviting us back. We haven't worn out our welcome. And Mike and Kim are opening their doors. We'll be there from 1 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 19th. We'll be joined by First Crush IPA that will be available to purchase and sample. And, of course, this time we're going to let you order off the menu. We are asking if you want to bring, a holiday-themed sweets, desserts, if you make Christmas cookies. I was thinking if you can make weird Christmas cookies in shapes and things like that, that would be a lot of fun. But yeah, we're gonna have all sorts of fun, and if we can arrange it and get it worked out, we're gonna screen a 1-hour holiday special. And won't that be fun? So that'd be the third hour. It's 1 to 4 p.m. More on that as it develops, but we'll put a little post up on our Facebook page to gauge interest and see who can make it. I know it's going to be tough during holiday season, but our last event turned out pretty well, and we'd love to see you there. So just come out, hang out, and you can bring the kids. It'll be family friendly. I'll try not to swear too much. And like I said, we'll watch a classic holiday special after everybody has eaten. So
it's like a order off the menu thing. There's not a buffet this time, right?
No buffet. This time you can order off the menu, and you don't have to eat. You don't have to buy any beer. You can come and sit and watch, and you don't have to, you can get a glass of water. But he'll have a staff there. Dustin's son will be working that day. So
yes, he will.
And you can boss him around. Dustin, you were saying that there should be an opportunity for us to screen something there, but we got to figure out how to do it, right?
We should be able to get a the projector and get a screen up, and we can that way everybody will be able to see everything. It's not going to be crowding around one of those Pizza Hut televisions that that everybody used to have back in the day. So right. We should try to get something to be a little more, and we'll try to find something that is kind of centric to Radio Labyrinth, something we either discuss or have talked about, or something up our alley.
Right.
Maybe we could finish our 64 bracket, and then the winner could be part of the screening.
Maybe.
I'm thinking of something that's old, but also really, really memorable. But we'll see. Like, there's one that Christmas special that you don't see anymore, obviously, because nobody cares. But Rich Little did A Christmas Carol where he played all the characters. That's one of my favorites. But, you know, that ain't going to fly. That's not even in our bracket, which we're going to talk about right now. So, like we said, we'll get it all figured out. But if you can make it, save the date. Sunday, December 19th, 1 to 4 p.m. at Atlanta Pizza and Euro in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. We are going to be kicking off the ultimate pop culture Christmas bracket in just about a week. You'll find it on our Twitter, and I think on Facebook we'll tally all the votes, and there'll be an ultimate winner. We have 64 Christmassy pop culture items seeded. I'm working on the bracket right now. Once that's ready, I will tweet that out and put it on Facebook, and you can find that at facebook.com/Radio Labyrinth, also on the Radio Labyrinth Radio Shack, and then there's, of course, Twitter, which is @radio_labyrinth. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to be fun. And everybody chipped in to throw in their 2 cents on the show. So we'll get that taken care of. Okay. I wanted to kick it off by talking about every week, talking about a couple, two, three specials that are going to be airing in the window of episodes. So there's a couple airing. There's three I want to talk about. There's a Klosterfunky Christmas, which is on Comedy Central. It premieres on December 4th. Obviously, you can watch it on demand or whatever. But it's like a holiday Lifetime movie parody. This is from Rachel Drash and Anna Gasteyer, who are both very, very talented and very, very funny SNL alum. It's a fun parody of the genre, that Hallmark genre. It sounds like something that could literally air on one of those channels. It's about a real estate executive who travels to a small town around the holidays to buy up the Klosterfunk and get it clusterfuck in from a pair of spinsters played by Dratch and Gasteyer. And of course she falls in love with the guy there. So it's really taken right out of that playbook, but I'm sure it'll be funny. Those two are really good. There's a Very Boy Band Holiday, which premieres on December 6th on ABC. Then it goes to Hulu the next day. All your favorite 90s boy band, dreamy, sexy, hot boys are about to slide down your chimney real soon. Jeff likes that. Make sure you lube well. Members of Boys to Men, NSYNC, New Edition, New Kids on the Block. Not all the people from New Edition will be there. And 98 Degrees are reuniting to make you swoon with their renditions of holiday classics and their group's own Christmas songs. And then finally, I want to talk about this one in brief. I didn't know anything about this till I did a little research, and it's called For Auld Lang Syne. That premieres Friday, December 10th on Apple TV Plus. Now, this is a new Peanuts special, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it being made by the same people that are making this new Snoopy show?
I didn't know there was a new Snoopy show, yeah. But this is a new Peanuts special. Snoopy and the gang celebrate New Year's Eve. Lucy tries to throw the best party ever after having a disappointing Christmas. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know. To me, Peanuts live in the 60s and 70s, so I'm not really sure I want to watch anything new without Charles Schulz, but I'm sure his family approved of it, right?
Well, I guess they must need money because Schulz didn't want anything to carry on after he died.
Right.
Right. And then they did, however, what may lead to them needing more money is they did lose the majority of the Schulz library when those California wildfires went through a couple of years ago. Oh, and, okay. And it completely decimated, like, their, you know, all of the original stuff and artwork and everything that was lost. So, there, you know, it may, and that, and then shortly thereafter, Apple bought, you know, the Peanuts and all of that. So, you know, either it's money, you know, that they've agreed to, or it's something that since Apple now owns the rights to it, they have the ability to, like the new Snoopy show you were talking about, they have the ability to create something new. And I guess they were, if you look back, I guess there's a Peanuts special for just about every holiday, but not a New Year's
Day.
Well, hey, give Apple a couple of years. I'm sure that's
coming. I always liked it's Columbus Day, Charlie Brown, where they all dressed as Native Americans and were subjugated to the Spanish and colonials. That was a good one. That was always my favorite. And Woodstock was taken back to Spain and had to be a servant for the Queen Isabella. But, you know, that's a different time. It's a different time. And, you know, you can't do that anymore. You can't do those holidays. I don't know. To me, the Peanuts, I guess, they're going to have to milk these franchises, these properties for all they're worth. But do people, I really got to wonder that if people below us in age groups, maybe some of the older millennials, do they even care about the Peanuts characters? Do they care about Charlie Brown? Do they understand?
I think kids are digging this new Snoopy show.
Really?
But that's as far as, I think that's as far as it would go though. They don't have the, you know, decades of,
they probably watched like the Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin and shit every year since they were born.
Because their parents.
Because of their parents, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, to me, the joy of the Peanuts were those specials. That's how we were all introduced to them. Plus, they were a daily comic strip when you looked at daily comic strips. And there was always the Sunday funnies, you know, the Sunday comic strips that were in color. But one of the joys of for me about the Peanuts is you could go to a flea market or any place that sold old books, used books, paperbacks. You could always find like a something from the, you know, when they first started drawing the Peanuts and they had a different look, you know, they were the early books. And I had all those. I would just buy them and you could buy the old Mad Magazine trade paperbacks. You know, they're the size of a regular paperback. Yeah, I just loved all that stuff. So, but I had to go find that on my own. I don't know that they're going to be doing that. I wonder about certain things like because Warner Brothers and Marvel and all that stuff that's been with us and the generation previous to us, they've managed to bring that to the future to now and make it relevant. So I don't know if it'll work, but yeah, we'll see. You know, I don't know that I'd go out actively seeking out any new Peanut stuff. Maybe I'll watch this. We'll see how it is. As long as they don't make it dirty. Like, what's that new Christmas special with that Seth Rogen produced?
I mean, I know if it's along the lines of like a Sausage Party and stuff that he's done, then yeah, it probably is a little more adult.
That's a bad look. I don't want to work with him.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad look. He was funny on Curb. Now there's this new TV show, I guess it's called. It's called Santa Inc. and it's on HBO Max. And the only reason I know anything about it, and it starts tomorrow, December 2nd, which is 2 days ago or 3 days ago, if you're listening today. And what's happened with this, I'll read you the description of the show. As the workers of the North Pole celebrate a successful Christmas, Candy is shocked by the news that her boss at Santa Inc. has been poached by a big tech competitor. This is basically about elves and Santa, and you have Seth Rogen's playing Santa Claus, Sarah Silverman is Candy Smalls, Gabourey Sidibe, is that how you say it? Gabourey Sidibe. The actress who was in Precious, she's in it as well. She plays a character named Goldie. This is something that would be right up our alley, you would think. It's funny. It's going to be subversive. It'll have that Sausage Party type feel. Mm-hmm. And what's going on is that the trailer got posted on YouTube and then a bunch of trolls started really making it terrible. The headline here is Anti Semites, Holocaust deniers flood comments on trailer for Seth Rogen Christmas movie. It's not funny, but Jesus, what kind of crazy ass world do we live in where this happens every time something like this is dropped?
Well, it's because it's unfortunately the reality of giving everyone a voice through the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
We need some of these trolls to comment on our YouTube videos.
Yeah. Sure we do. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do something that pisses off the alt-right. You think about what that would be. And people will flock to us and maybe give us money. Our Patreon, by the way, is patreon.com/Tim Andrews if you want to sign up. But yeah, when this their trailer dropped right before they started hiding the dislikes on YouTube, and it had 38,000 dislikes and 1,000 likes. Now you can't tell. You know, it was 28,000 before they removed the count. People hate this subversive piece of shit. I don't think people hate that kind of shit. I don't think that Sarah Silverman and Seth Rogen got together and said, let's piss all over something that people like. You know, they're not out to kill anybody. They're not out to destroy Christmas. They're just making a funny movie that a lot of people are going to like. So lighten up. It's comedy, and they're not out to destroy Christmas, and it's not some subversive Jewish plot to ruin the world's Christianity. It's not. It's a goddamn movie, and it's a comedy. And, you know, Seth Rogen has to find things to do that don't involve his best friends because he can't associate with them. So let him make a Christmas movie.
Now you can only do so much pottery.
Yes. I think...
Maybe you should convert to Jews for Jesus.
You're talking about that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, which is one of the funniest ones this season so far. I mean, they've all been pretty good, but this one was really, really funny. I love the absurdist part of this. You know, okay, he's doing a series and it's Little Larry or whatever, but it's not like previous times he's worked. This is just all slice of life shit for him. And it's, you got to think this is definitely the last season, right?
I don't know. I think he can keep doing it indefinitely.
You think so? He's 70, what, he's 76 years old?
I know, but I mean, how hard is it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it can't be that hard. Not as hard as it is.
If you just keep swinging for the fences, like, yeah, you know, like there's not another season. I mean, that's usually when his best stuff comes out anyhow.
Yeah. He should play Jesus in an Easter special with Seth Rogen that everybody mad at, complain about on YouTube. God, this stuff pisses me off. Culture wars are ridiculous. And Dustin made the point, and that is the only point you can make from this, is you democratize everything and you let people have a voice who shouldn't have one. You know, everybody, you have your voice. You can go on your rooftop and scream about, you know, the Jewish conspiracy, but no one's going to look at you. But then you go to YouTube and type it under something and, you know, you are anonymous, so nobody knows who you are. And then everybody else, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. Stop it. Santa Inc. looks funny, and I'm going to watch it. And like I said, it starts on the 2nd of December. So that's tomorrow for us, but you're in the future listening to this. It's a couple days ago. All right, let's talk about a little news and shit. So Peter Jackson refused Disney's request to remove swearing from the Beatles' Get Back. First and foremost, have we all watched that?
Yeah, I watched
part one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm halfway through part two. It is a commitment. And if you're not a diehard Beatles fan, which I didn't know Jeff was, but I guess you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting piece of history. That's for sure to watch. It's 8 hours long. And it's the Beatles sitting around talking about this and that while they try to record and get ready to do a live show that they cancel doing. And it's just a lot of fun to see them arguing with each other. And, you know, being a fan of the Beatles for as long as I have, you know, some conceptions I had have flipped on themselves. Now, I always thought, like a lot of people, that Paul broke up the band or that Yoko broke up the band. I didn't know that it was George Harrison's whinging and his pissiness that led to
George had just come from California where he played with like David Crosby and
Dylan and Clapton.
Yeah. And Bob Dylan and all those people. See, he was getting a taste of what his solo career could, like he basically got that first little Wilbury.
Yeah. For wanting to put something together like that. Yeah.
Well, the way those artists did everything was to jam until they found what they wanted. And the Beatles weren't like that, as you can tell watching this, is they crafted songs and then they wrote lyrics. Another thing I didn't know.
Well, you got the first little taste of what it could be like if he was out on his own.
Right.
And that's why he was like, at that point, he didn't care if the Beatles broke up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was looking ahead.
When they started giving him shit, he was like, all right, fuck this.
Yeah.
But I can tell you though, as from being in a band for a number of years and seeing those guys sit in that room and create stuff, for people that have never been in a group that has to collaborate and put things together like that, that is so, it's almost like I've seen that and been in that situation hundreds of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so real. I mean, it's so much. The reality of four minds that have to put out one singular thing and what it takes to collaborate and put those together under what I assume was a lot of duress. I mean, that was, you know, that was their future on the line. Right. And for a couple of them, they were definitely thinking about it a lot differently than the other two.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think Ringo was pretty laid back about everything.
He didn't care.
Some of the most fun stuff I felt was like when they were so sick of playing the same song over and over and over again, they would just like fuck with it.
Yeah.
They would like sing like they were ventriloquists.
Yeah. Or
they would do like weird accents, like, yeah, going home, like do posh British accents and stuff.
John Lennon was always my favorite. you know, when I was younger and I actually thought about such things, like, well, John Lennon is my favorite because he's the smartest and most introspective and he had blah, 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 blah. But you can tell that he's fucked up most of the time, or at least he was fucked up the night before. He's late to every session.
Yeah.
And he's also saw him being a complete tool to Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
Who I found out that the director, Michael Lindsay Hogg, you know, this movie I'm making isn't going to be nothing. The assumption is that he said, hey, why don't you come on set? You know, you're Peter Sellers. Everybody knows you.
Well, Peter Sellers was going to be in that movie with Ringo.
Right. And he comes in and, you know, ostensibly to talk to everybody. And then John just starts trying to one up him constantly with his wit and his jokes. And it kind of puts him off, and you can see on his face. And then as he's leaving, Paul looks at him like, aren't you glad you came here?
Yeah, don't meet your heroes.
Right. Well, yeah. I started thinking, well, I mean, I wouldn't think that Lennon would be one of Peter Sellers' heroes, but because Peter Sellers did a bunch of novelty songs based on the Beatles. He did different British accents reading the lyrics to She Loves You. Have you ever heard those?
No.
No, huh?
There's a couple. They used to play them on Dr. Demento a lot, but there's three or four different ones, and it's just two guys talking to each other, and there's different music playing in the background. But she loves you. She said, you know, I saw her yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. She told me what to say.
What'd she tell you?
She said she loves you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
My favorite part is when he goes, apologize to her. And the other voice goes, why the devil should I? But anyway, if you can find him and you like Peter Sellers and you like novelty songs, just go to YouTube and type Peter Sellers Beatles and you'll find all of them. I don't know. I got a weird thing, but I got to finish watching it. It is, to me, a huge investment.
I don't blame Yoko for breaking up the Beatles anymore.
No, yeah. I never. I don't know that I ever did. I guess I went along with everybody else. Yeah, it was her. She sat there quietly knitting.
She did. She didn't. She didn't say a word. She was on microphone doing her stuff a little bit when there was like downtime.
Yeah, and then Paul McCartney's stepdaughter mocked her. Not mocked her, but copied her, you know.
Yeah, but like she was just screwing around. Right. She wasn't trying to interject anything. She wasn't trying to say shit or make John say shit.
Right.
The fact that she was there, I think, was the issue.
Everybody was there. Paul's wife was there. George's girlfriend were there. Yeah.
I don't know.
Those two Hare Krishna guys jiggling their nutsacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I looked at it. I always looked at her like, you know, a member of your band's girlfriend, and that's just, you know, the relationship that they had is not a relationship that she has with the rest of the band, right. But she assumed that relationship, and that's, I don't know.
He was weak in that way. Well, we know we're together, we're the same, blah blah blah. You know,
he needed a crutch. Yeah.
Well, he always needed that.
Right.
And that comes from his childhood, you know, his mother leaving him and his father, but his mother leaving him and being in and out of his life and him being raised by his aunt. And, you know, he had those abandonment issues and, you know, he had his first wife who he just left and he abandoned his child, you know, Julian. And, you know, he met Yoko and he fell in love with her. And that's just the way it manifested itself. But, you know, I think that out of all four of them, definitely Paul and Ringo were the most grounded, but like to Jeff's point, George had a taste for independence and it's like, oh, these guys all worship me because I'm the guitar player for the Beatles. You know what I mean? And he was friends with Clapton. Clapton ended up stealing his wife.
Yeah.
Some really good songs written about Patty Harrison.
They like 3 weeks later, they go in the studio to record Abbey Road, right?
Yeah.
After this. So
yeah, Abbey Road was after it. And Abbey Road was released before Let It Be, because Let It Be was just this, everything you're seeing happening was a big mishmash. And then they took it to Phil Spector after Paul left the band and Phil Spector put it together. So Let It Be came out and, you know, Phil Spector had done his magic on it. You know, he didn't kill it or anything, but he did what he had to do. And Let It Be is a good record. Huh?
Paul hated what Phil Spector did to it.
I know he did. And then he put out a stripped down version, but it isn't as good. It is. I like the version that Spector put out.
Yeah. I think Spector did a good job with the orchestra and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you can do whatever, but Abbey Road is a masterpiece. Abbey Road is my favorite.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a documentary about the making of Abbey Road, because that would maybe show the real reason they finally broke up.
I bet that there isn't, because I bet they were tired of having cameras.
Yeah, they probably didn't like having the
cameras. Yeah, they wanted a closed set, I'm sure, for Abbey Road. And I've read a lot of reviews of people online.
It's 35 millimeter, wasn't it?
Or was it 35?
Yeah.
And are saying that it's over-processed. Like, it looks too clean. And again, these people that are mentioning this are very much film buffs, and right. You know, they appreciate the grain and, right. And everything else, but that he overprocessed it. But he did a great job. I mean, Jackson's,
yeah, I thought so too.
Look of it was amazing. There's times where it looks like it was shot like yesterday.
Yeah, and that's why I like the fact that the gels and everything really pop off of the studio, or not the studio, but the soundstage, where it's painted white, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Definitely finish watching it though, man. It's
I'm going to. I just got to do it, because you know, there's, like I said, there's so much time. My favorite series of the season is getting renewed for season two. Chucky. I don't know. I got to go back and watch it, I guess. You guys all say it's good. But so
season finale just aired this week, and it's really good.
Yeah, I heard it was the most gory kill yet.
Yeah,
was what they're saying. But I had nothing more than that. I heard nothing.
I won't give any spoiler alerts, but they really open it up big for what could possibly go ahead in season two.
Well, the full casting for Facts of Life has been announced.
I don't know if it's full casting, but some interesting choices.
Yeah, so it looks like Jennifer Aniston is going to be playing Blair. Gabriel Union will be playing, who will she be playing? Tootie. Allison Tolman will be playing, what's her name? Not Tootie. Tootie's best friend. What's her name?
Natalie.
And of course, Catherine Hahn, we already said, would be in it. Who's she playing? She's playing Joe, right?
I imagine.
Yeah. Well, here's what it says. Yeah, definitely. Aniston's playing Blair Warner. Union is playing Tootie. Tolman is Natalie Green. And Hahn is Joe Polnicek. That's pretty cool. I think I'll check it out. I could stop being a bitch and watch it, but it should be fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I don't know why Blair is suddenly 50 years old, though.
Well, I hope she doesn't get COVID and roll around in the and go on and do a streaming show and swear after your best friend Steve Carroll was just killed in a car accident. Oh, spoiler alert. I don't know anything about Pen 15, so.
It's getting canceled after season two.
Penis is getting canceled. End of Penis.
That's a funny show on Hulu.
I always call it Penis because I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like it's made.
That's the intention.
Like,
yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to take a little break, come back, and talk about what everybody watched. So don't go away. Hey, you hungry? I got an idea for you. Why don't you go to Atlanta Pizza in Euro? That's Atlanta Pizza in Euro. In Conyers, Georgia. That's right. They have delicious pizza and delicious gyros. We've been there a bunch of times. We've done a couple of shows there. We've done a couple of meet and greets there. In fact, we're planning on going back sometime in November or sometime in the fall to do another like live recording. And more on that when we know more about it. But first things first, let's talk about Atlanta Pizza and Euro. They have brand new options for you. They have gluten-free crusts, vegan cheese, and as always, they have a lot of great local craft beers at reasonable prices. Now, Steph, don't they have a food truck?
They do have a food truck, and we all want to catch a ride in this food truck, like big time. Yeah. And I think they've done a few things so far that went very well, he said. Mm-hmm. And just to go back, though, the craft beer thing that you were talking about, I had some really good beer the last time I was there. I was like, okay. I think it was Tropicalia or something. I'd never had it before. And now that's like one of my favorite beers. So they have,
hell yeah.
I think that's what it was. But they have really great beers there. And Mike, he likes to bring you around the little taster. Let's take a little sip. You don't have to buy the whole thing. You know, maybe you don't know. He'll like, here, take a sip. And then you can get it if you want to. That's what I love about them.
I don't mind a little beer every now and then. A good tasty brew to go with your pizza. And hey, keep it in the family.
Just had a pizza.
Yeah, Dustin, let's keep it in the family. I was just about to say that. Now, someone in your family works there.
Yeah, my oldest son, Rylan, he's a server there. So when you walk in and you see, you know, a 6'5" dude come up and ask you what you want to eat, that's my son. He enjoys it. He loves the people there. It's a great atmosphere. You know, they've had long existing customers that come in there, you know, all the time. It's like a family. It's kind of like a cheer situation. He loves working there.
And he's bringing home free pizzas too, right?
Yeah, that's a perk from time to time. But
Mike Hall has been a supporter of Radio Labyrinth for a very long time, and we thank him for that. Mike and his lovely wife have always supported us, and couldn't find a nicer couple. And we would like everybody to patronize the restaurant, which is in Conyers, and maybe Dustin will be there. How about that? It's AtlantaPizzaGiro.com if you want to find out more about it. Look at the menu and try it. I mean, it's good pizza. So
it's great pizza. Killer crust, killer cheese. He has great sauce. I mean, I haven't tried the vegan pizza yet, which I don't know. You know, I'm sure that Mike is going to make it wonderful,
right?
No matter what it is.
Does it have pepperoni on it?
No.
Oh.
It's vegan.
Oh.
They make vegan pepperoni.
I'm sure it's delicious. Sure, vegan pepperoni is delicious. But now on a vegan, can't you use Beyond Meat? That is sort of like meat, but it isn't.
There's a lot more alternatives than they used to be. That's for sure.
You can use the Impossible Bat.
Mike does not put bat in his pizza.
Mike does not want people thinking that he puts Impossible Bat in his pizza. So please, I mean, not even real bat, let alone Impossible Bat. Check out Atlanta Pizza in Euro there on Facebook. And they are, and the links are all here for you to click on and to go check it out. That's AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
And we're back.
We are back. Everybody watched Hawkeye 1 and 2. Jeff's the only one who's seen Hawkeye 3. Or no, both of you have, right?
No, just seen 1 and 2.
Just 1 and 2. All right, so we'll talk more about Hawkeye when we're all caught up. It's going to be hard for us since we record on the day it drops. But I guess I can check it out. We all watched the South Park COVID movie.
Oh, that was great.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was so fucking good. I had no idea that they were going to... I love the fact that the pandemic is over. It's called post COVID, and all of them are grown up and in their 40s, right?
Yeah.
And of course, Stan is Trey Parker, and Kyle is Matt Stone. Am I right about that?
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. And Cartman is doing the ultimate troll. He is now a rabbi, and he's married to a Jewish lady. He's converted to Judaism, obviously. He's a rabbi, and they have kids. And Kyle doesn't believe it. I think as it goes further, it'll be revealed to be a joke.
Yeah, I think they're going to be hired. Like the whole family is going is going to be paying them off.
Yeah,
but that whole sex scene, the whole sex scene in their house, that was
screaming Abraham.
That was great.
And then finally, we get to see Randy Marsh. He's all old and. Yeah, one disappointment. I don't want to talk about it too much in case people haven't seen it, but if you're a South Park fan, it's great. You know, I saw a lot of people complaining about it. Oh, they lost their edge, but they've been doing that ever since season 5. And if you're a South Park fan, you got to love this. I love South Park and I love the movie.
They killed Kenny, though.
Yeah, I know they did. Kenny, by the way, is a scientist with a huge uncircumcised cock, which you get to see. And not like just a flash, he's just laying there.
But it does tie right into the last movie.
Yeah.
But I mean storylines are right there with Tegrity and and
this is the third pandemic movie, right?
The Pangolin. Yeah.
This is the third one. When are they gonna do a series again? Are they not ever gonna do that again?
No, they are. They're signed through 2030.
Yeah.
So all right, so
there will be more seasons.
There'll be plenty of more seasons, yeah.
My only complaint was you did get to see Jimmy, which I loved, but you didn't get to see, there was no Butters, and Butters is
one of that was the Arkham scene at the end, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, the Professor Chaos. You notice it wouldn't say Professor, it said something Chaos on the placard next to the door. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did see that. They didn't cut to him as Professor
Chaos. No.
All right. So looking forward to more of that. Well, we talked about Get Back. So we'll talk about things that we didn't all watch or we haven't mentioned yet. I'll go first real quick here. This has been out since 2019. Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary, was on Amazon Prime. I just put it on and watched it. It was a good view. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It was good.
Like that movie, the documentary was good. For some reason, I watched this show, The Freak Brothers, on Tubi, which is really good. And it must be doing well enough for them to advertise during football, because I saw a bunch of ads for it. But have you guys both watched it yet?
Not yet.
I watched the first episode. It was really good.
I think it's funny. The one where with Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk from 2 weeks ago was fucking funny as shit, too.
The animation's great.
Yeah, the animation's great. The stories are great. All the voice actors are funny as shit. This week's is really funny. But there's a lot of classic stuff on Tubi that you know, is popping up in my suggestions. So I've been watching the show Fridays. I'm, you know, just taking it easy on that. But I remember where I was when I'm watching these, and I haven't seen any of these since they first aired. And I'm remembering some of the ones of where I was when they were on. And it's pretty cool. I like that kind of feeling, that nostalgia feeling. Oh, yeah, I know I was in this, my friend's trailer, and we're watching this and da-da-da, and we did the characters. And some of these characters I remember, you know, it was funnier than SNL at the time. So that's what I was watching on Friday nights. And then it suggested the Gong Show movie, and I watched that. It's just as bad as I remembered, but it's bad in a nostalgic way. I watched the most recent episode of Dexter. I'm still enjoying Dexter. I like where it's going.
Yes.
It's a fun show. It's really feels like old Dexter. Curb Your Enthusiasm, we talked about. It was really, really funny. Storage Wars, I'm all caught up on this most recent season, and I'm enjoying that as well. My staff pick is The Expanse, which returns for its sixth and final season on December 10th. I can't wait to watch the fucking show.
Yeah, I can't either.
I hate the fucking moon.
Since we talked about everything that I watched, you can go ahead, Jeff.
Well, you can say your staff.
Some of the stuff that I watched that nobody else watched, I watched that Sex Lives of College Girls.
Mm-hmm.
First five of them on, I think that's HBO Max.
How's the plausibility on that, Joe?
Yeah, there's plausibility in every episode.
That's an end.
I would assume that's why you went through through episode five.
It's funny though. It's really funny, and the girl that's obviously based on Mindy Kaling is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that Timothy Chalamet's sister.
He has a name, you know.
I don't know what her name is.
Incontinentinous butter.
She's cute, and I like her character. She's like this nerdy Midwest kind of college girl.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. I'm going to stick with it. I enjoy it. I think we should call it Poon, though.
Wow.
I'm not sure how to spell that. P-O-O-N or P-U-N-E.
You're filthy.
Wheel of Time, I watched the first four of those on Amazon. Not great.
Yeah.
I think for some reason Amazon didn't give him a lot of money. Maybe.
Yeah, I watched the first 10 minutes of the first one. That's why I was like, yeah, budget was really cut back.
Yeah, it's like, but it's Amazon. They have all the money in the world. I don't know why they didn't give them the money. I think if they had more money, it would be better, because the story's kind of interesting. But it's not great.
No. That's
all I'll say about that. How To with John Wilson came back on HBO. Did you watch any of those from the first season?
No.
Remember that show? It was really good. It's produced by Nathan Fielder. So it's kind of like Nathan For You. Remember that show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it has that feel to it. I've watched all of the part two of Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe Revelations. That was good. Wrapped up five episodes.
Right. And if they'd have released all of it at once, it could have squashed all of that.
Yeah.
All the crap that came from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Jeff, did you watch that YouTube video I sent you?
No. What'd you send me?
I sent you the Joe Pera at that guy's house making a
trip. Oh, yeah. Making that stool.
Yeah. Now, was that on his show?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I love this channel where this guy he makes recipes from colonial America. So, and I didn't, in the feed, I just saw that Joe Pera had been there recently. There's one where they sit by a fire and they make, you made me cocoa. And then there's another one where he makes a chair. It was fun. Yeah. All right, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I think that's it. Lost in Space starts today. That's my staff pick. The final season on Netflix.
And Dustin, I just looked you everything. Well, not Red Notice. I'll do Steph's real quick. She watched True Story on Netflix, Yellow Jackets on Showtime, Hawkeye, and her staff pick is the Always Sunny podcast, which is now the number one podcast on Spotify. Sorry, Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
that's only coming back soon too, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to try that out, the Always Sunny podcast.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say Red Notice is not my staff pick. It was probably be my anti-staff pick if I had to do one. That is, for it being
not good.
Yeah, for it being the most watched thing on Netflix now, which it broke Squid Game's record and everything. For it being the most watched thing on Netflix, it is a hokey movie. It's just it's amazing that they put those three actors together with the worst possible script they could ever come up with, and it's as popular as it is. The only thing selling it is who's in it.
It seems like one of those movies where they're like, oh, you can make Black Adam or whatever, but you got to do this for us.
There's one whole scene where he comes in across the room, pours a glass, and then drinks it before anything even happens in the whole scene. It must have cost like $200,000 to film that scene, and it was just an ad for his gin.
Damn.
But bad movie.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. Look, if you're looking for an animal, a pet, don't shop, adopt, don't shop. Go to barkfielddogrescue.org and find a pooch that will fit with you and your family. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who got one during COVID and they don't want it anymore. Well, somebody wants to love an animal. And if that's you, again, barkfielddogrescue.org. Is there any business we haven't covered yet, fellas?
No, keep your eyes out for the Christmas bracket on social media.
And don't forget, next Wednesday, December 8th, or this Wednesday, December 8th, look for our Brian Troxell episode of Radio Labyrinth Presents. Until next week, please remember to keep it in. Here at Radio Labyrinth, we are supported by Patreon. That's right. And our top Patreon donors are called producers. And we have a slew of them. And I want to read their names and thank them right now because we haven't done that in a while. First of all, Chris Chandler, thank you very much. And if you guys want to weigh in on any of these people, please jump in.
The former quarterback, right, for the Falcons. It's not that Chris Chandler.
No, it's not Crystal Chandelier. It is not Crystal Chandelier, but it is Chris Chandler. It's also not WSB's Chris Chandler. It's a different Chris Chandler. There's lots of Chris Chandlers, as it turns out.
Our Patreon's the best Chris Chandler.
Absolutely. And the best Brett Perkins in the country is also one of our Patreon members.
Big buttery Brett.
Big buttery Brett. Butter him up. Todd Ellis, thank you very much for donating. Roby Neely, who you can hear from time to time on the always consistent Mike TV podcast, which is on our channel, hosted by Lisa Krause and Dean. Yeah,
and shout out to Roby too, because he was just in a car accident. He's okay.
I saw that.
Oh no.
Yeah,
that sucks. But no, Dean and Lisa do a good job when they actually do the show, and Roby is a good contributor to that show. So check it out. If you've never listened, go through our little back archive, and they do really, 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 really deep dives. another Patreon producer, Tim Slayton, thank you very much. Brian Smith, who he and his fiance are getting married in October on Halloween, and is a Halloween-themed wedding. I hope I get to go. But if not, I wish them the best. They're great, great peeps, and they're big supporters of Dragon Con. Usually see them down there. Didn't get through this year. John Sutherland, great dude. We've known him for quite a while. Been a supporter for a very long time. John, thank you very much. He got me a real cool gift one year. I drew a kiss drawing for him, and he got it framed in, or put in glass. It was really cool.
Oh, he was great in MASH too.
Yes, he was. He was really good in MASH. Mike D. Thank you, Mike D. We've always said it that way. Emily Hine Warren, who will be joining us because she donated to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the WSB Carathon. And one of the packages was you get to sit in and watch us do Radio Labyrinth on Zoom. So she'll be doing that very soon.
And because she's Emily Hine Warren.
Well, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. Buck Monterey, want to thank you very much. Another longtime producer.
I always feel like he played Archie on All in the Family.
You think? Matt Carter, thank you very much. Matt Carter, another longtime sponsor and also
a sweet, 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 wonderful man.
Yes, he is. Mike Hall, who we mentioned, he's also a sponsor. And longtime donor, Eric Malmstrom. He's always funny on social media and supports us and interacts with us. And last but not least, Mr. Chad Shepard, who gave us this, the Red Box Troll, another longtime donor, former intern of mine, coworker, really nice
chap.
And he's awesome. And there we go. Yeah, look at that pop out like a green penis. if you'd like to be a Patreon member, we have different levels and those levels change from time to time, but what's always consistent is if you come in as a producer, that's $25 a month. You off the bat, you get to pick one of our t-shirts. So now would be a good time, because in a couple of weeks, well, while you're watching this, odds are we're going to have a new t-shirt or something that you want, and those links will all be made available to you. So thank you guys, and we appreciate it very much.
Please hang up and try again.